1, 5. Owerri, lause.
Broadcasting worldwide, the latest hits and the greatest memories.
Fresh.
107.9 FM. Listen via freshfmnigeria.com or download Fresh 107.9 FM on Play Store.
Fresh 107.9 FM. Professionalism nurtured by experience.
It's 10 a.m. from our studios here at Fresh 107.9 FM in Abeokuta. Good morning and welcome to Platform. My name is Emmanuel Oke. As I said earlier on, at 7 on Freshly Pressed, I told you we'll be looking at some things around building today. We'll be looking at the role of builders in sustainable housing delivery. And that's our focus on the show this morning. It promises to be an engaging conversation as usual. It's Wednesday, the 13th day of March 2024. And not by coincidence, but by sheer, I don't want to put it to that, but it's National Builders Day in Nigeria today. So we're celebrating builders, and it's an avenue to push forward ideals of standard housing delivery in Nigeria. So that's our focus on the show this morning. My name is Emmanuel, okay? Before I introduce my guest, let me reel out some things around building to show you how disturbing the trend of building collapses are in Nigeria, because there's no way we'll talk about building and that will not form the major theme of the conversation. Let's look at a few of the statistics. According to the Building Collapse Prevention Guild, 62 catastrophes were recorded in 2022 alone, causing 84 deaths and injuring 113 persons. Between 2011 and 2019, about 84 collapse incidents were recorded, and only 21 happened outside Lagos. The report also added that 59% of these incidents involved buildings still under construction, while 41% were existing or completed structures. According to the Standards Organization of Nigeria, Nigeria has the highest number of building collapses in Africa. Very disturbing. And a report by The Punch said 115 incidents of building collapses were recorded in Nigeria between 2012 and 2022. 115. Another report by the Building Collapse Prevention Guild said that Nigeria witnessed a total of 553 building collapses between 1974 and April 2023. But the disturbing part is that 553 between 1974 and 2023. But in the last 40 years, we had over 460 buildings. So the last four decades, the last 3 years, 10 years, 20 years in Nigeria has been disturbing when it comes to building collapses. Nigeria, like other nations, also grapples with the challenge of sustainable housing delivery. And that's our focus, and we're striving to balance urbanization, the growth of houses, improvement in technology, cost of materials, environmental concerns, safety hazards, and in all this, just one set of people are at the center, and those are builders. So I celebrate builders this morning. You may please clap for yourselves. Interesting. So, March 13 every year has been set aside as the Builders Day, and it is to remember the five-story building that collapsed at number 63 Massive Street in Lagos Island on March 13, 2019, that killed over 20 people, mostly school children. May their soul rest in peace. So, and that's why, as a responsible group, the Nigerian Institute of Building has put together annually that day. It's now a week celebration to celebrate this day. So, we're going to discuss and delve into many of those issues this morning. And no other persons than the people at the center to talk about the issue of building. Particularly, we're focusing on the role of builders in sustainable housing delivery this morning. Let me introduce to you the chairman, Nigeria Institute of Building, Ogun State Chapter, Builder Adedayo Dauda Adesina. Adebayo Dauda Adesina. It's a pleasure to have you. You're welcome. Please move closer, please. You're welcome. Also in the house, we have the Vice Chairman of the Nigeria Institute of Building, Ogun State Chapter, Builder Adedayo Ogunshola. I got that right this time. Good morning. It's a pleasure. Let's quickly highlight the current state of housing delivery in Nigeria.
Thank you very much. Housing is one of the cardinal things that is needed by man to survive, either as a survivor for personal life or as a survivor for storage or protection. Shelter is inevitable. But the issue we usually face about the delivery is that it more or less is about management, technology, material. Those are the things that aid delivery. But behind all this, there are knowledge. And that is why people need to be trained. We can appropriately say some of the problem that faces housing delivery is about knowledge. It's about knowledge, greed, and lack of determination by government and the governed about housing delivery. We have shortage of housing delivery in Nigeria because the government might be trying their best, but it's not enough. There are individuals that delve into it. The procedures that they lay down is actually not something that a common man can afford. So you see people now contravening rules and regulations with respect to housing, shanties we develop, and the rest of them like that. So you now see a situation where a typical majority of Nigeria are devoid of sustainable housing delivery for themselves because they couldn't afford them. And when that happens, man must survive, as the common man will say. So it has not been okay because for a very long time we've not been able to meet our deficit. We have been in deficit for the past 50 years. So the housing delivery is a challenge. I'm of the opinion that the government needs to declare that sector as a critical thing so that probably maybe through policy implementation and training, maybe those things can actually be addressed.
Okay, let me come to the Vice Chairman. You spoke about the deficit, which of course is rested on population growth. So with population will come more housing needs and the need to keep building. Now, in all of this, it looks like Nigeria has lost itself in that we just see buildings pop up. How do we balance? How do we call ourselves to the path of wisdom to say, despite the fact that we need more houses to grow, we need more houses to come up, there's still a place of doing the right thing?
Okay, thank you very much. Like the chairman noted, and it's public knowledge, there is a big deficit of housing needs, well over 12 million, as at the last count, by the National Gross Assessment. And because of the earning power of an average Nigerian and the relative cost of housing, then it is a bit difficult for the average Nigerian to be able to afford a home or a house for themselves. So that means that we need government to step in to create a policy and the environment that will make it easy for individuals who wants to own their own homes. Like has been noted, shelter is one of the three cardinal needs of man. You talk about food, you talk about shelter, you talk about clothing. So it's critical. So for us, government need to be the starting point. Yes, we have population explosion, and we'll definitely have, as the population is increasing, the needs and the demand for housing. But if the right policy had been put in place by government and the planning and there's a follow-up, definitely the deficit will be reduced. And over a period of time, maybe 10 years, maybe 20 years, we'll be able to close up
Okay. Interesting. You spoke about policy and environment. Chairman, you were talking about knowledge and greed before. And many times when we have issues in that sector, we're quick to point fingers and blame quackery amidst a couple of other things. But I want us to look at something critical. We've been going along the line of that deficit now, and there's the need to keep building. But there's also the place of affordability as against sustainability. So how do we navigate the balance between affordability in housing and sustainability? Because you look at it and say, it's too much to build to follow the standards. In fact, if you want to go through the paperwork, that would have consumed all or almost what you have planned for building. So how do we balance this?
Well, thank you. It is still the functions that will be performed by everybody, the professional body, researchers, those who want to have their houses, the government, and the trainers as well. Because being sustainable, there's something we need to protect. Fine, we want to go sustainable means by ensuring that we preserve our natural deposit. At least our generation will be determined that we will not finish them, so that the coming generation can also have their own opportunity. But we will not be able to do that if we keep on relying on imported material, because sustainability have the other side of things being injurious to the environment. So you realize that, fine, we want to preserve our natural deposit. What are we doing with our waste? So it has to do with developing new materials that will not throw too much challenge to our natural deposit. So if we have, like, maybe you have pure water, nylons, the caps, the everything, most of the waste, wood waste, agricultural waste. So we should look for a way to solve the problem through material, because housing being unaffordable is not just about the cost of this. So the management costs are also there. We are coming to that. But let's solve the material issue first. Let the government be serious. Government has a lot of establishments that are dedicated towards material development. But it has not been. They are trying. They're trying, but probably the research has not been able to be tangible enough to tackle the problem. So once that one can be done, we know that the material side is gone. Then it now comes to the professional bodies and training institutions. You see, nowadays, going orthodoxical about those things it will create a lot of issue, because we need skill sets to survive in that industry. We need to restructure the syllabus that are used to training people, so that we'll be able to meet the challenge of our time. So like, when you have a bunch of built environment professionals that are having deficiencies, and that is where the issue of quackery comes in. When you really cannot define what you are trained to do, you realize that, okay, probably I'm not satisfied with the income from here, let me delve into this, without understanding the line. So when people cross the line, actually you'll be doing what is not. We are trained to deliver different things. Knowledge is, these are knowledge based. If we solve the issue of training, that let the knowledge that are passed to students or trainee be actually what can solve. For example, look at so many of our training institutions. You want to suggest that probably, despite the projects that are being run in the Polytechnic, the College of Technologies, the university, till now, undergraduate, postgraduate, and we are still where we are today. There's something is wrong with us. So it means that the training institute needs to sit down and help the environment too. They should allow the students to delve more into finding materials that can replace all this, the material that are making it to be costly. I know people will complain about maybe the binder. That is just the major challenge, the cement of a thing. And you can see how it is skyrocketing, because absolutely there are things that are important to do it. But I think through research, we can solve that problem. That is on the side of the material. Now, you now come about policy. You see, the government needs to be more proactive. What you will see is that on paper, you see fantastic policy that will make things work. But monitoring of that thing, the regulations are there, they are so good. But the government agencies that are going out, they need to do more. The government needs to empower those departments to be able to do their job well. The populace need to be educated that these people are not just there to wish hunt you. They are trying to protect our present and our future, so that You not go to a site and people will start dragging you, saying, what are you doing here? Because they now see regulators as enemies. And that is where you mentioned the issue of being, you want to do your papers now. So when you follow the official line, actually in Nigeria of today, when you try to follow the official line, you realize that the delivery might be too costly. But the government needs to encourage people. Government needs to compress the time and the cost
of the processes.
Yeah, the processes of doing the right thing when you want to commence your and thank God now in Ogun State, it's not just about pre-construction approach now. There are construction and post-construction approaches into evaluation and monitoring of construction process now. But the government still needs to do more, compress the cost, compress the time, so that people can be encouraged.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Platform on Fresh 107.9 FM. It's 15 minutes past 10 from our studios. And my guests this morning are the chairman and vice chairman of the Nigeria Institute of Building, Ogun State Chapter. And today, March 13, is Builders Day. Now, I'm still staying with you. You can join us on Facebook at Fresh 107.9 FM on Facebook. Put your comments there for us. If you want to send us a message on WhatsApp, the WhatsApp line is also available, 0815-432-1079. 0815-432-1079. That's our WhatsApp line. Facebook, you can drop your message on X at Fresh FM Abeokuta. At Fresh FM Abeokuta. Now, I'm still sticking with the chairman. I want you to walk me through the process, the standard process of building, like I'm a five-year-old. Because many people get confused when you start talking about processes and you get one approval and one certification and one stamp and one. So it gets confusing. So walk me through the process from start to construction end, or to the end of construction, or let me see, to tape cutting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. You see, one of the basic challenges that usually occur is the issue of some dubious characters that are involved. The first thing in building is for you to have a land. Although sometimes you want to say the first thing is to develop your concept. What exactly is your need? What do you want? What do you need? What is your cost? So when you have that thinking, you can be working towards it. You can decide to call someone. You have a consultant that you can be talking to that can guide you. So you develop your concept. So when you develop a concept of the type of a building you want, then you can now go, okay, let me have a land. Then, so when you have your land, we have challenges there too. The land grabbers are there in Ogun State. That's why that Ogun State has a law against land grabbing.
Land grabbing.
I am yet to see the law being used, because when you ask questions from people, one of the most infuriating things that happens to the populace around in Nigeria, let's say Nigeria, is the fear of the land grabbers. You are not very sure what will happen to your building. All this, some of them will not come until maybe that if you build your house, they will now say they are the new owner now, they're pressing you, you have to buy the land again, and the rest of them like that. So the government needs to find a way to monitor the process of acquiring land. So after you have acquired your land, do a survey. But we need to understand some things. There are some of these documents that are just there for the purpose of production. They are not actually, they don't actually give you the ownership of that building. And many of us will understand what I'm trying to say, that you have your survey, you have your building, all these are production documents. They are production documents, but ownership documents are there. You have your receipt, you have your agreement, and you also have your certificate of occupancy. But when you look at all these things, normally you say, before I start the construction, I should have this. But all of us know that the process is just somehow. And the cost they are going to give you, you run away. So that is the first thing. You must have your land, and you must ensure you have ownership of your land. After you have done that, then you now want to develop your idea. You have your survey. Your survey, and not just somebody just drawing anything. Just approach a registered surveyor. Who will do an authentic survey that will be registered, so that when you go to anywhere with the cardinals there, you can navigate that place from
GPS markings.
Yes, you can trace it from there. So once you have any of the points, you can actually go out from there. So after you have that, then you have there are so many approaches to building construction. You can decide to have a construction manager, you can decide to have a project manager depending on your approach. You can decide to have a consultant who will direct nearly everything. But after you have your survey, then we now come to the stage of you developing the idea physically. So you have the building drawing being drawn up by a registered architect who will work on it, putting his knowledge into it and coming up with something. So after that, you have quantified, because you see, we used to have a lot of abandoned projects. That's another thing. And people need to change. Somebody that needs to have a two-bedroom flat, you don't need to build five-bedroom flat. You need to be futuristic. You need to be sustainable in that thing. And that is why you see, go to the olden days, where when we operate a extended family setup, you realize that you have 10 brothers living in the same compound. You see, they minimized the space. They have even saved cost there. You will not have the issue of there is a particular space that is now useless after 10 years when the children have gone to school. So all this kind of stuff. So you need to have a design, architectural design that is futuristic, that is sustainable. And so you can only have that when you patronize a registered professional, the architect that can help you to do that. So after
the architect to the quantifier.
Yes. So after that, you now go to the quanti surveyor, because you need to know what is the cost of that. And so many people go into construction without doing that, and at the end of the day, we say, my money cannot survive it now, so I have to purchase later. So this is also part of the reason why you have abandoned project. So after the data has been done, you consult a builder, and that one too has a two-way as well. It's either you approach a builder or you have a contractor. You know, Nigeria is a very interesting country where anybody do anything. But thank God the law is coming now and is trying to put those things into check. So it is at that point, during the design as well, while immediately the architectural design is done, you have your structural design, mechanical and electrical design, another surfaces design and the rest of them. So all these things are packaged and they will be passed on to a builder who is statutorily responsible for building production. So after you have done that, and we used to advise that the surfaces of a builder is not just at the point of construction. No, there are inputs. Professionals in the built environment should learn to be collaborative so that the client can have better quality for their money. You see, there are one or two considerations that should come in even at the point of design, especially about the future of that building. So when they are called, maybe at the time of the brief, let all the professionals be there, let them have an input. It will help the designer, it will help them even in the developing of specification that will be used to either build or finish or maintain that building. So after that, the builder will do the construction. Then
so you know
you
the,
have
he knows the
but
original
before all the, you know, all these things like you have all this drawing I'm talking about needs to be certified. They need to be approved. So immediately you have your survey, it should be taken to where it will be approved. You have your approved survey plan, then you have your building plan, it will be taken for approval. You have your approved building plan. After that process, you still need to have the permit to construct. So you still go to the agency that is responsible for building production in the state where you are going to have a building permit. So once you have your building permit, you are good to go. Now, there is something we should understand as well. All these regulatory agencies has a role to play while you are still constructing. They still have a role to play after the construction. So they are supposed to be coming to be inspect, like when they inspect the materials you want to use, is it hazardous to the workers or the environment? Because safety is very important. Safety to the work, safety to the worker, safety to the environment, safety to the visitor,
and
safety to the passerby.
People that will eventually use the property.
Yes. So you consider them ab initio. So after all this have been done, you have your building.
Now, I wonder, are these processes not cumbersome enough? Because what you see obtainable in Nigeria is that a young man grows up and starts making little money from the thing. He's advised to buy land. He buys a plot of land, and somebody tells him one day, "We babalu puja loshe foundation," and a foundation is made, and they start building, and it is roofed, and he moves into the house. And that's all. Now, I also observe that in the olden days, when they talk about house, they talk about house documents. and somebody has it in their custody. Many of the houses today don't have documents, and you don't hear anything around Iwele. Now, I want you to emphasize on the importance of these things, as costly or cumbersome as they may be.
Yeah. You see, that's what I talk about ownership. Authentically, when you do all these things and you have your documents, even the government, they will say, Oba Balori Ongbugbo, but it doesn't come in this kind of thing because you have your evidences. Even if the government wants to use it, you'll be compensated. That is the most important thing. If perchance the state needs to use that land or they need to use that place, definitely you'll be compensated because you have done the right thing. So people should learn from the story of those who just lost it and lost it for life. Because people used to do something, they will not come back and start putting unnecessary preference into it. So we should learn to go for approval of our thing. And the government should try, because you mentioned the issue of the delay now. That can discourage a lot of people and take loss into their hand. The government should look for a way to compress the process and the time that it takes to have the approval of those things. Patronizing those who are not responsible to do their thing used to have its issues. Building is beyond, I am mixing concrete and placing them. No, it's beyond it. There are so many other issues. The life of the building is very important. We are more or less like a doctor to building. We relate with our building. That's why you see a typical builder, when I finish any job, you look at it and start laughing. You know, intrinsically, you'll be happy that, wow, this is my newborn baby. You know, the happiness is always there, and that should be for the client as well. But if it is just, you are just focusing on using, you are not taking care of it, you use your body, you go to clinic. The same way a builder do, after the construction, we do maintenance. Maintenance is not just when there are problems, and that is the approach in Nigeria anyway. We do corrective maintenance all the time, but whereas we are supposed to prevent those problems from happening. You see, you will not want to break down because of your job. So you maintain your health. We should maintain the health of our builder as well, and that is the job of a builder as well.
Okay, let me come to the vice. I wanted to further emphasize on the place of builder, because what we see obtainable now is that everybody is a builder, and even though you have zero idea of what it is, and they do what we call direct labor. We call, well, at every point, just call the laborers or call the artisans that will do the work. You want to make a foundation, call a bricklayer. You want a roof, call a carpenter. You want to paint, call a painter. Electrician, call an electrician. And you become the builder in the process. I want you to emphasize the risk of this.
Thank you very much. Now, we need to understand that in every profession and endeavor, there's specialization. Specialization means that you have both professional, maybe academic, competence higher than others. And that is why when your body is sick, you just don't go anywhere. Professionally, you go to someone who has been properly trained, gone through medical school, and can diagnose what is wrong based on the symptoms that you tell the person. For a builder is a person who has been professionally and academically trained to put together all the inputs of different other core professionals and the artisans, and for emphasis sake, the artisans, so that the product, which is the building that the client or the owner or the developer desires, can be properly produced. Now, usually, there's an instant review, so somebody does heat in 2 minutes and say, okay, so what next? Okay, so first of all, I go and call the bricklayer, and then the next person at some point will call an iron vendor and call this, and everybody puts in this. But what is critical is that the builder is the person who have been trained to coordinate, manage the production process. Because like you said, the production process of a building is just not just one item, one line item. There's the input, starting from the designers, the architect, the structural engineer, the mechanical engineer, the services engineer, depending on the complexity of the building. And then you now put together the artisans. We need to understand that a mason may know how to lay two blocks together, or may know how to mix X and Y, cement and sand, but a mason does not know the chemistry of cement. He does not know the physics, the load, the structures that goes into how the weight or the load, what we call the load of a building, affects the foundation.
Or the environmental consideration.
Or the environmental consideration, the soil bearing capacity. So many technical details that the mason, who is an artisan, does not know. So when a builder is the one managing together all of those, he's not just thinking about, I need to set 100 blocks together, I need to cast 20 cubic meters of concrete. He's looking at what effect would that concrete have on the soil, the sustainability, does the soil have sulfates. His brain is doing so many things. He's putting together many inputs. He's also putting together, he's not just thinking of, I want to cast the concrete with it. Like, sorry to say, like people in Abuja, you go to Sapon, you go to the mortuary, and you pick the people that will cast your concrete for you. He's thinking of sustainability. Like the chairman said, he's already thinking of how he's going to maintain that structure in 10 years' time, in 50 years' time. So he's not just concerned with, I cast the concrete today, I collect my money, I go. He's concerned with sustainability. When you call the painter, all you're interested in is, oh, let me just get somebody to just give me a nice aesthetic finish. That is not just the concern of the builder. The builder is looking at the chemistry of the paint. He's looking at the chemistry of how it will react with the walls. He's looking at the external environment. He's considering many factors. He's already putting his brain to see the interplay between the painter, the person that will do your furnishing and your finishes. He's looking at it. There are so many things he's thinking about. But when you call just individual artisans, the tendency is for them to just be concerned with their own
aspect of the job.
And once they do
and
that,
they just give you quotation.
They go. But when you call a production manager, who is the builder, he's not just concerned with managing the production activities of the artisans. He's also concerned with managing the production activities of the designer, meeting the expectation of the clients. He's the, when it comes to building production, he's a manager. I think that is where, and if we appreciate, if we know that in management, the brain does more work than the hand. The operations, that is why you go to companies, MDs, they get more paid, than the line managers or the staff that does physical things. Why? Because their input is to coordinate. They are more important. It's not that the line managers are not important, but the input of the person that coordinates is key. And that is what we have been missing seriously. More maybe because of affordability, like one of the questions asked. So people think, oh, it's going to be expensive for me if I call this person. I mean, he's not the one setting the clock, he's not the one carrying the clock, he's not the one holding.
You likely come in a call somebody who is a builder and is probably is after gains or doesn't even know the job. How do I ascertain the professionalism of who I'm inviting or who I'm given my project to as a builder?
Thank you very much. The Nigerian Institute of Building is established by law, and there are processes. When you engage a builder, you are going to have value for your money. And there are ways to checkmate the performance. We have ethics. We have cardinals that we follow as builder. And we have oaths that we have taken when you are being ordained to practice the profession of building. So there are, the first point is the Nigerian Institute of Building, where you actually receive your training. You now, then after you'll be certified from there, you can request from that person to show you a license. There are certificates, so you can ask for the CV of that person. And if you after that, you can save hard, because after you have been trained by Nigerian Institute of Building, you are going to be certified by Council of Registered Builders of Nigeria, COBON. And at that point, you'll be given a practicing license. you can request for the practice license of such a person. It is not correct, and it cannot be correct, that a builder will not know what he needs to do. Then it means he has not passed through our
that's
training.
That's a certified builder.
Yeah,
or a professional.
Yeah, yeah. So calling just anybody, builder, a person who go to site and farm is not a builder. He might go to school to study.
What about somebody
building.
Who has studied building technology or building in school?
That's why professionalism is about academic and professional certification. So when you have academic certification, we have so many people. Like in your line now, I have a student that practices journalism now. He's split there. So he will just be right. He might have interest in maybe environmental journalism, or I don't know what the kind of journalism that you call it. But that doesn't qualify him as a builder. But if he decides to still do it, he needs to pass through Nigeria Stop Building, be trained and certified. He needs to be certified by a Council of Registered Builders to certify. That's why I said you can request for the practice license. Now, there are avenues for you to complain. You can lodge, if you are not satisfied with what a builder have done, you can start from the state chapter. You can write a petition to the state chapter and we'll forward it to the national. You can register your grievances with the national as well. There are committees that deal with that. You can also complain to Carbon, and the practice license of that person will be seized. So there are the clients are protected, but the problem is we don't know the right channel to do. You can access this. You can go to www.niobnat.org. You will see there are there is a space there where you can lodge complaint if you are not satisfied. The same thing, you can go to Coburn as well. So okay. You can lodge your complaint either orally. You can write
or log
in
log
every
your
state.
On the
yes, there are licensing offices for Coburn. In every state, and you can use the shift chapters
of
NIOB.
Of Coburn, so we are clear.
What?
Coburn.
Coburn is Council of Registered Builders of Nigeria.
Okay.
They regulate us and give us license to practice the profession of building in Nigeria. You can go to their office and lodge a complaint, and I assure you, once you lodge a complaint about the practice of any builder, once that person is found guilty of going against the ethics, the person will be punished.
We're due for a break. This is Platform on Fresh 107.9 FM. If you just tuned in, we're celebrating the Builders Day today, March 13, and I have as guests in the house Builder Adebayo Dauda Adesina, the Chairman Nigerian Institute of Building of the State Chapter, and Builder Adedayo Ogunshola, Vice Chairman Nigerian Institute of Building of the State. You can join us on Facebook at Fresh 107.9 FM. When we come back after the break, we'll open the phone lines for you to be a part of the conversation, ask your questions, and touch on other things. We'll cover our materials, cement particularly. After this break, please stay with us.
Step into a world of freshness and convenience at Old English Superstores and Bakery. Located in the heart of the Rock City, Abeokuta, Old English Superstores offers everything you need under 172. Old English Superstores on every breakfast table.
Listening to a platform on Fresh 107.9 FM, Abeokuta. My name is Emmanuel. Okay, you can join in the conversation now. Send us a message on Facebook, on WhatsApp, or call any of our studio lines 081-33-55-3996. 081-33-55-3996 or 0701-352-9228. If you want to send us a message on WhatsApp, it's 0815-432-1079. Good morning.
Hello. Yeah, good morning. I was here. Yeah, just stream this out. Well, I'm coming from Abeokuta. I was hearing your program earlier this morning, so I quickly ran down to do one or two. So I just came in now and I discovered that the section is open. But I really just want to clarify before I make some comments. Is it this same political talk program that was talking about the budget padding?
That was freshly pressed in the morning. and I announced on Facebook that platform would have builders. We are speaking with builders.
Okay. Well, sorry. Thank you so much.
And 0701-352-9228. On Facebook, we have greetings for you here. This person says, please let building owners be aware that termites can compromise integrity tests and structural stability of the property and facility. Okay, he's trying to advertise. You'd have to walk down to Fresh FM and pay for advertisements if you want me to read that out. Let's come back to the cost of materials, and that's one major factor. And many things have been done. Minister of Works had to call cement manufacturers to a meeting, and many of these things to say we're producing this thing in Nigeria, so why is it that expensive? I miss a couple of other things. The general impact is that if you are renting an accommodation today, you'd have to break your bank or break your piggy bank or go out of way before you can get an accommodation. And they tell you, cost of building materials are expensive. POP, gypsum, call it iron, everything is on the high side. How do we navigate at this time? And the risk is that people may resort to using substandard materials. So how do we navigate this dangerous or perilous period?
Thank you very much. It's a cankerworm, and we actually need to solve it because it's a need. The cost of building is a function of the cost of acquiring the land, the cost of having the professionals and the workers, the cost of the material, the cost of permission and approval, and the cost of certification by government that thing is habitable. Now, well, in most cases, we concentrate more on the material because the material is the physical thing that can affect the life cycle of that building. Once you get it wrong at the beginning, you will forever get it wrong. What I mean is this. There are things you are supposed to do at different places. When you do, for example, look at dam, for example, 80% of houses are being affected by dam, rising of water from the foundation into the walls of the building. There are things we are supposed to do. Sometimes some people just collect the money and don't do it because they did not give their buildings to people that can supervise it well. And sometimes the client will tell you, I don't want that thing, just do my house, make a park there. And at the end of the day, they suffer. So the material is very important, but they are very costly. There are some of these materials. The general information we have is that cement, because we have the companies producing them around there in Nigeria, it should be cheaper. See, quality is not actually addressing the issue of being cheap or not, but it's about affordability. Affordability can be interpreted in different cadre of people to mean different things. But we are concerned about the quality for now, the quality in use, and the quality after that. That is what we are concerned with. What is the cost? If you do something for 1 million naira now, and you are still using it, in 10 years you are still using it, and you buy something for 100,000 now. In 5 years, you have used 900,000 to repair it. In another 5 years, you are using millions to. So you realize that it is better for you to have a quality building. That is where you can have a cost, a better cost for yourself. Now, the material, the best solution to this material is just to have indigenous research that can delve in probably maybe converting our wealth to waste. Either we are taking that approach, or we are going to develop binder, which is the class cement belongs to the material in building classification, is the most important thing. The quality of that binder, we have a determination. It is a determinant of what the future of that building will be, because it has to hold the material together. If you compare what we do with cement and what we do with mud, you realize that there will be gradual disintegration of the mud over time because of the striking rain. We used to call it driving rain. So when the driving rain attacks that, it will be reducing the particles small. And that is what your common cement we try to protect. So I don't know how we can do it. The government, the professional bodies, research institutes, the training institute, the schools must come up with something that will emanate from Nigeria. As we speak now, it is not every material that are used in production of cement that are in Nigeria. Let's be frank with ourselves. And our life has been dollarized. That is the problem we have in Nigeria today. A typical Nigeria, if you see a pure water that is produced from my village and the one that is produced from abroad, I want to take that. That is not even though it might not be produced from abroad, because they have just stamped it from abroad. That's another challenge that we have. As citizens, we have to be determined that we want to solve that problem. The quality has to be ascertained. So that, but because we rely too much on foreign products, there are issues. So in the line of the production of cement, there are chemicals that are imported. And once some people start down somewhere and decide that neither we have problem, we will continue to have the problem because it is import-based, it is dollar-based. Once our foreign exchange, once our currency is weak, definitely we'll have crisis. Now, people will ask, okay, let us go back to other means. Timber. You see, if you, when you go to some places outside Nigeria, you see them using other materials for their construction. They are not careless as we are. In Nigeria, where after doing your construction, you are not very sure that spark will not happen. You are not very sure that fire cannot break from, you know, broke out from that. These are the things. The carefulness, the awareness are low with reference to other material. But when you have a concrete-based material, the resilience is always there. And that is why you see that in Nigeria, we do more of our construction using a cement-based products. We can decide to look for other binders, have more development on our clay. Clay is good. It's good for the weather. It can even prevent outbreak, and they have resilience that can help. But the issue of that is, like, disintegration is still there. Now, you now say, okay, can we change from concrete block to clay block? You have another issue. The oil that is used to burn the clay for it to be to not be affected by driving rain is also important. We have never produced any in Nigeria as we speak. So by the time you have
that one used for brick houses.
Yes. Okay. So by the time you have your brick, unless which is like somebody was saying that can't Nigerians abandon cement for about 6 months? Maybe that would push science into the. It would have been fantastic as an economic decision. That okay, let us try. Well, which other means are we going to try? Nigeria is 60 years old now, and we are still here. We don't have command over common knowledge of satisfying our need. We don't have command. So our schools and government needs to gear up. So that is the basic problem. Most of the chemicals that are used in producing this material are import based. So hence, once our currency is having problem, they will have problems. So we need to go back, start researching on material that can replace them. Once we can do that, to an extent, it will bring, because when you look at it, if you say a building costs 10 million naira, people will not want to reason that about 7 million naira will go for material. And these materials are called, they are import based, so definitely we'll continue to have the problem. We are not ready to solve it as a citizen, so the government too is just looking. We need as a nation to start planning on how we are going to develop materials that can substantially replace the materials that we have on ground, and that is the way forward.
Okay, let me come to you, sir. Let's talk about the place of synergy between other players in the building industry, from government, policymakers, legislative, even consumers or customers or the owners of houses, real estate developers. In fact, I don't want to say this, but even land grabbers, building material manufacturers, I miss a couple of everybody in the sector, architects, surveyors, quantity surveyors. How do you synergize with them?
I think that when it comes to synergy, we already have different bodies that come together to improve on the collaborative efforts of the different players in the construction industry. When we talk of materials, we have the standard organization of Nigeria that is to monitor materials. We have the different professional bodies, and they themselves, they also have different collaborative spiritually, you already have many bodies. But it's just that pulling everybody together has been a problem. Sometimes everybody will stand on their own. Or when they have a relationship with you, that's the only time when they come to you. So I think that part of what we need to do is what we're doing today, which is enlightenment. We need to encourage everybody that building, the built environment, is not an individual effort. It's a collaborative effort. We talked of jokingly even the land grabbers. You can't have a building if you don't have a land. So that means there must be a way that we should be able to also pull them. You know, we used to have someone that talks of the carrot and stick approach. You just can't bring stick to stick. There must also be the carrot approach. So there must be a way that you must be able to synergize. Bring everybody. Land grabbers, professionals in public land, the clients. Who is the key person? It's even the person that conceptualized the project in the first place. And then every other effort needs to be put together. But like I said, it is enlightenment that can. The fact that everybody out there must know that buildings are not the effort of one singular person or one singular sector or one singular.
So building is a collaborative effort.
Building is a collaborative.
On Facebook, Tunji Adeosho says, I want to commend the resource personnel in the studio for doing justice to the topic being discussed, and I wish them happy Builders Day. The question is, can the intended client engage a builder in different stages of building construction and also pay for the services in phases, or they charge their professional service at once? Because many clients avoid the use of builders due to their professional charges, thereby engage quacks like other professionals in the built environment to manage their building construction for them?
Well, in contracting, there are so many approaches to contracting. You can decide to give a whole job to somebody, like the vice chairman said, it's a collaborative thing. Building is done in stages. It is not all the stages that requires the physical presence of a builder. In some of them, your inputs are necessary, because you can take a construction management approach where you can have a builder or anybody in the built industry as the manager that coordinate things. That person will be working as a manager in that, but even if the person is a builder at that moment, he's working as a construction manager. You can have a project manager, a bigger approach. Then you can have a site manager. You can actually even have a builder as a supervisor. Give him just a specific job to be done. Don't forget, in the documents that you are going to you have before you start your building, there are areas where a builder is expected to ascertain that quality job will be done on that site, and should in case anything happen, I am responsible. So when you think about that thing, you now want us to participate in a project where I know I am liable, and you are saying my name is at stake, my profession is at stake. So that is what people need to think about. Actually, you can break it. You can have a contract that will specify that, okay, I want to do my substructure, foundation, and the rest. Settle that. Once you satisfy the responsibility of the two, the contract is done, you can do that. You can go at every stage. But from experience, I'll say it is more economical to have a builder to be on site, because it's not just about building. We manage the workers' productivity and the rest of them like that. So actually, you can do it in phases.
In phases. Okay. I wanted to touch on something briefly before I come to Abeokuta here. I want you to open our insight into some emerging trends in building today and what the future holds for the practice.
Thank you very much. Building is a very creative and innovative profession. If your head is not thinking, you will not survive as a builder. And that is why I challenge building students and building researchers in Nigeria, practitioners. We need to rise up and create a means to call the present producer of material. We need to challenge them by providing alternative material. Like the government has an agency, NIPRI, that is responsible for the research and production of alternative materials that can do the work. What is the type of funding? What is the situation about government? That I don't know. But if all of us can imbibe that, we can decide to start researching. Like, for example, not too long, we have students who have, even we have practitioners who are producing block for walls with pure water nylons, with abandoned plastic materials. Some are using sawdust. Some are using so many things. And these are the kind of thing that we need to. So, and then in our body, there's one opportunity that is given to practitioners. You can decide to develop this material and write to NIOB or Carbon. They will help you on how to develop. So we definitely need to be creative by going into the material deficit and be sustainable about
research.
It. Yeah.
Okay, tell me how you are celebrating the Builders Day. I thought you gather us together and give us food now.
In Nigeria of today?
Yes, Builders Day, you have March 13th.
You have to be sustainable.
Abi?
You have to be sustainable. Okay. These are what they think. What you are doing is a fantastic job. And for somebody to remember the take home from this something, I know
yeah.
There will be something okay. in the minds of people. It's a gift to everybody.
So I must thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
On behalf of the entire management and staff of Fresh FM, Abeokuta, I want to wish you a happy Builders Day.
Thank you very much.
I must thank you for your time. My guests this morning, today, March 13, Builders Day, Chairman, Nigerian Institute of Building Ogun State, Builder Adebayo Dauda Additional, MNIOB. And the Vice Chairman, Builder Adedayo Ogunshola. Many thanks for joining us this morning. In your entourage, it's a full house. Let me quickly look through your people. We have Builder Adedeke AA, Adeleke AA, the immediate past chairman, NIOB Ogun State. Thank you for coming. Builder Sunday Adesina, financial secretary, NIOB Ogun State. And Savio Builder Olubenga Michael Olatuji, PRO, NIOB Ogun State. I don't know whether to say Builder Tiami YouTube, but then. Many thanks for joining us.